Welcome to Just a Minute. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, and to welcome to the programme four exciting, dynamic personalities who are going to show their skill with words and language as they try and speak on a subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And those four talented people are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Sheila Hancock, and seated on my left, Tony Hawkes and Phil Wang. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me, it's Sarah Sharp, who's going to run the stopwatch for me and help me keep the score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And we begin the show this week with Tony Hawkes. Tony, Mamma Mia. And there's 60 seconds available, Tony, starting now.
A few weeks ago, I was on this show and was delighted to be able to sing an ABBA song. And now I see the opportunity has come to me again. Mamma Mia, how I let you go, my ditto.
Poor challenge.
I thought there was going to be a slight hesitation, but then, as Tony sort of said ditto, I'm not sure that... I think he might have covered it.
I think he did cover it, because he knew it was a difficult one.
It was remarkably similar to the other song that I remember hearing, which I've not been able to get out of my head since the last broadcast went out several weeks ago.
So, Tony, an incorrect challenge. You have a point for that, and there are 47 seconds available still. Mamma Mia, starting now.
I went to see the show Mamma Mia about a year ago, having resisted it for a long time, assuming that it wouldn't be very good. I was pleasantly surprised. Those of you who have watched this particular theatrical extravaganza will know what an intricate and cleverly plotted piece it is. I'm obviously being paid by them to say that, and I will be collecting my check after the show. Mamma Mia!
Phil Challenge.
I think there's a repetition of show.
Yes, there was a repetition of show.
Yep. Okay.
Well, listen, Phil, you've got in with 16 seconds to go on this subject. You've got a point, of course, for correct challenge. Mamma Mia, with you, Phil, starting now.
If you were an Italian man who was surprised by something, you might say, Mamma Mia. It is a surprising country to live in, Italy, of course. All kinds of incredible things happen there. The fall of Rome, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, the occasional dropped pizza.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. It was Phil Wang, who's fairly new to the show. And will you begin the next round for us?
I'd love to.
Right. The subject now, Jamaica. Tell us something about Jamaica in this game, starting now.
Jamaica is a country in the Caribbean and also a strange way of pronouncing did you make her. Jamaica is known for its food, jerk chicken, peas and rice, and also for its music, reggae, steel drums. I have never been to Jamaica, but I would like to. My friend Jason has Jamaican descent, and he will never let me forget it. He brings it up all the time, and that's fair enough. It is an interesting point. I don't know where else I'm going with this. I was not expecting to go this far, to be honest.
Poor you, challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, because he didn't know where he was going. Right. So, correct challenge, Paul. 30 seconds available if you need it. Tell us something about Jamaica, starting now.
I was making a documentary about the world's biggest cruise ship, and one of the stops on this particular vessel was Jamaica. We were only there for a day, but the passengers got the idea that somehow they were visiting a culture which they were able to understand in less than a few hours. Of course, it doesn't quite work like that, but Jamaica, what a beautiful place. If you look at extensive beaches, golf courses, all kinds of music emanating from that magnificent island, we can all think, I think, of people like Bob Marley and the reggae superstars such as Peter Tosh.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. It was Paul Merton. He's equal in the lead with Phil Wang at the end of the round. And Sheena, will you begin the next round? Beef eaters. Will you tell us something about beef eaters starting now?
Well, this is something I definitely am not, being a vegan. However, I am sure a lot of people really enjoy eating that particular meat. However, do they realise that it has been injected with all sorts of ghastly things while it was on four legs? And probably it isn't going to do them a great deal of good. However, the people in the tower...
Phil Challenge.
Repetition of however.
Yeah, you said however.
Oh, really,
before.
Did I?
Mm. So, well, listen, Phil. And you've got in with 39 seconds to go, if you like. Beef eaters starting now.
If you were to go to the Palace of in London, you might...
Tony Challenge?
There is no Palace of in London.
No, yes, you're quite right.
It's the Tower of London. Yeah. You were thinking of the Tower of London, weren't you?
It was, yeah. I mix up my masonry sometimes.
Tony, correct challenge. 36 seconds still available. Beef eaters are starting now.
I imagine if you are a beef eater and you go to a party and people ask you what you do, it leads to a rather interesting conversation. You don't come across many. I've never met a beef eater in person, and I intend to keep it that way, to be honest with you. I might go to the Tower of London and quiz them about this peculiar rumour they have about the ravens. If they leave that magnificent edifice, apparently the kingdom will collapse. And this would be a terrible thing, but not as bad as having Boris Johnson.
Oh. So Tony Hawkes is speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. And Paul, we're with you to begin. And the subject here, an out-of-body experience. Tell us something about that in this game, if you can, starting now.
Out-of-body experiences, I think, are fairly common amongst the general population. If I could ask the audience here if anyone has ever experienced an out-of-body experience, please place your hand on the roof of this building.
Sheila hasn't got a chance.
Hesitation.
Yeah. I was conducting a survey.
Sheila, correct challenge. And there are still 48 seconds available. God. An out-of-body experience starting now.
Actually, I do remember many, many... Oh, Sheila. Sorry.
Yes, if somebody's played the game so often, Sheila.
Yeah, that is appalling.
Paul, you challenge first. An out-of-body experience is still the subject. 45 seconds starting now.
Professor David Fontana has written a book that's about life after death, which may be of interest to some people here. I particularly am fascinated by the subject. Out-of-body experiences are more common than perhaps we might think. I'd like to ask the audience here.
Tony Challenge.
I think he said common the first time. When
yeah, I was trying to get the survey going.
But he did repeat it, so...
I did, yeah.
Tony, correct challenge. 37 seconds available. An out-of-body experience starting now.
I had an out-of-body experience between round one and two on this particular show. I floated above this auditorium and looked down and thought how your career could have gone so much better. Stuck on this show, you get 56 quid.
Phil, you challenge.
I think it's a repetition of show.
Yes.
Phil,
you've got in with 13 seconds still available, an out-of-body experience starting now.
When I look down at my gut from time to time, I feel I wish...
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of time.
Oh. God, it's a tricky game, this, isn't it?
So, Tony, got in with 9 seconds to go. An out-of-body experience starting now.
Whether the audience here have had many out-of-body experiences is something we won't really be able to find out because...
Paul Challenge.
We could if we did my survey. That's how we find out.
We'll give Paul a bonus point because we enjoyed the interruption, but Tony was interrupted,
yeah.
So he keeps the subject. And there are only 3 seconds left, Tony. An out-of-body experience starting now.
Let's all stay behind and do balls.
So Tony Hawk speaking of the whistle when he gained that extra point and has increased his lead at the end of the round. And Tony, we're back with you to begin. The subject is the kitchen. Tell us something about the kitchen starting now.
Isn't it amazing how when people throw parties, everyone seems to end up in the kitchen, even though they've gone to enormous lengths to clear out the living room so that you can dance, music, sometimes decorations. No, everybody's congregating in the kitchen.
Sheila?
A repeat of everybody.
Yes.
Everybody. I tried to disguise it by speeding up, and it didn't work. Well done.
So you know you've got in. What parties do you have? God.
With 43 seconds to go on the kitchen starting now.
I'm quite interested in kitchens because I've just redone mine so that I can reach when I'm old. Everything is now in drawers and my fridge. Ow, bugger.
Oh. Tony, you want it back again?
Hesitation, yeah.
Yes. And there are 33 seconds available. The kitchen starting now.
Jonah Louie, of course, sang about this. You will always find me in the kitchen at parties. I will not give you a rendition of it because I would have to repeat what is in the title, so I'm not allowed to. I know you really want it with all your heart, and I'd love to.
Paul challenge.
No, we don't really want it with all our heart.
So have you got a challenge?
I can't allow him to characterise the public mood in such a fashion. Deviation from the general feeling in the room.
As much as we enjoyed the interruption, Paul, I don't think I can give you a bonus point for it. And Tony was interrupted, so he has 17 seconds on the kitchen starting now.
The kitchen, the heart of the home, where the family congregate every morning, evening, lunchtime, if they haven't gone out to work. And this...
He's creating this fantasy world, isn't he?
I know.
I mean, A, these are lavish parties, he says, where everybody ends up in the kitchen. And then now we're having breakfast and lunch and dinner. People
but the brilliant thing about
nowadays.
It is I'm doing it within the rules of just a minute.
It's deviation from the norm.
Yeah.
No, he's not actually deviating.
It's not right.
Because you can have the kitchen scene that he hated the first time, which is at a party, or the kitchen scene, which is domestic, when there's no party going on. So within the rules of just a minute, he's not actually deviating. I think the audience would agree.
Yes.
Tony, another point. 7 seconds available. The kitchen starting now.
I'm doing up my kitchen, and because I'm so young, I'm putting all the cabinets slightly out of my reach.
Silly chance.
You're not so young.
I think we give you the benefit of the doubt, Sheila. A point to you. The kitchen, 3 seconds to go, starting now.
A cooker, a washing machine, a dishwasher.
So Sheila Hancock speaking then as a whistle when gained that extra point. Phil Wang, we're with you to begin, and the subject is the Romans. 60 seconds if you need it, starting now.
The Romans are an impressive bunch. They built the city Bath in the West Country, which is where I grew up for a little bit. They came from Rome, which is now the capital of Italy, a different country to England. Romans were great engineers and good philosophers, great statesmen and good military men.
Tony.
Repetition of good.
Yes, and
good and great, good and the great, yeah.
So, Tony, you've got in with 41 seconds to go. The Romans starting now.
The Romans built amazing roads, but any of you who have been to Rome will know that they can't drive on them to save their lives. What a dangerous place that is. Cars whizzing, weaving in and out, disregard for... They're supposed to drive on the right, they don't care where they do it. But really, I'm probably asked to talk about the ancient Romans when given this subject, rather than the people that live in that capital city today. So that's what I will do, and I will give you an extraordinary talk about these people.
Paul Janus.
When's it going to start?
Give Paul a bonus point because we enjoyed the interruption. But you have a challenge with the rules of just a minute.
I was half asleep, to be honest. No, I don't think he was. I don't think he was making. Committing errors in the spirit.
Because so is the subject still with you, Tony?
Rigid.
7 seconds to go. The Romans are starting now.
What did the Romans ever do for us? What a magnificent sketch that was in the Monty Python.
Sheila, we're back with you to begin. The subject here now is the moon. Oh. Tell us something about the moon in this game, starting now.
I dearly love the moon. It means a great deal to me. I remember when I was evacuated, I used to lie in the billet looking at the moon and thinking my mum and dad were under there and asking the moon to take care of them. So that was my first significance of it, and it's featured all the way through my life. It's extraordinary. Eclipses are magnificent things that take you out of yourself. The fact that it is in there waiting to be developed because we have actually reached the moon, and what an achievement for humanity that act was. I can never forget that moment when the steps were taken. The magnificence of that.
Oh, ball challenge.
We had magnificence before.
We did have magnificence before, yes, I'm afraid.
Or do we have magnificence?
I don't know.
Might have been magnificent.
Was it magnificent?
I think it might have been magnificent. Magnificent and magnificent.
I can't remember.
I tell you what, I'll withdraw the challenge.
No, don't.
You sure?
No.
All right, she repeated it.
All right, Paul. She's been very generous and said no. 19 seconds available. The moon starting now.
We are now celebrating 50 years of Apollo 11 landing on the moon. There is a documentary at the moment that's being shown on CN, ditto second letter again, which is a TV channel in the United States. And I believe that it's, if you look at it now, one of the greatest things that ever happened.
Right, so Paul Merton speaking as the Wizard Wind. Gain that extra point. He's creeping up on our leader, Tony Hawks, and then comes Phil Wang and Cedar Hancock in third place together. And, Paul, we're with you to begin. The London Marathon. Tell us something about that amazing event starting now.
I don't really pay much attention to the London Marathon. I suppose perhaps I should. There's always people dressed in fancy dress, made up as a pillar.
Oh, no, no, no.
Cedar Hancock, Janice.
No,
dress,
no, no.
Dress, dress. I thought it was a repeat of dress, but... It wasn't. It was dressed and dressed.
It was, yes.
An incorrect challenge. So, Paul, you still have the subject. 53 seconds, the London Marathon starting now.
The first time I entered a London Marathon, I was rather surprised because I was expecting to go to Swindon for a day. But I found myself walking down the street in my pants and vest, and somebody put a number on my back, and before I knew where I was attempting the first of the 26 miles. I remember them going by...
Tony Chance.
Repetition of remember.
Yes, you remember.
Did I?
Yes.
A bit like the rest of the audience, I wasn't listening, so... I dare say I did.
But I was, so I can say it was a correct challenge. 35 seconds. Tony, the London Marathon, the subject starting now.
Whenever I watch it on the TV, I'm always amazed to see these people who've dressed as a chicken or a Roman centurion or such like, and think to myself, how far do they get before they think to myself, I wish...
How far do they get before I think to myself...
Before they think...
They think to myself.
Oh, yes. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So deviation from understanding of the English language as spoken. As spoken, Mr. Chairman, as spoken.
Yes, a deviation from the grammatical English we understand.
Exactly. Very good chairman. Excellent chairman. Best chairman we've got. Best chairman, by far.
Thank you very much. You're very sweet and kind. Paul, you have a correct challenge. You have a point. You have the London Marathon and 20 seconds available starting now.
I forgot the subject was a London Marathon. I don't want it. I don't want that.
Hancock challenge.
I don't want it either, but... I'll have a go.
So a bonus point to Sheila for her remark. Sheila.
Yeah.
18 seconds for you on the London Marathon starting now.
Well, I know it holds up all the traffic in London, that's the main thing, but it is an extraordinary achievement on behalf of charity. People make a great deal of money. I'm always sponsoring ever so many people all over the world.
Oh, people. Paul Challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yeah, there are too many people you were sponsoring, right?
Yeah.
5 seconds to go, Paul, if you wanted. The London Marathon is starting now.
1 year I went disguised as Bulgaria. What a magnificent costume. One of the greatest wombles.
So, at the end of that round, Paul Merton speaking of the Whistle End, gained that extra point. He's creeping up on our leader, Tony Hawks. And, Tony, we're with you to begin again. And the subject now is career advice. Talk on it if you can, starting now.
One day at school, we had a man that came in to offer career advice, and I sat down with him and he said, what kind of job would you like to do? And I said, I don't really mind as long as I don't stoop so low where I end up being a careers advisor. At which point, he kind of turned against me a little bit, I feel, and didn't put much effort into the rest of that meeting. The point is, do we really need a career? We career off a road, don't we? We don't want to have this thing that we have to achieve, do stuff, when really, just give a little bit of yourself every day, man, and that's enough. You don't need to get...
is he talking about? We are witnessing the breakdown of a human being. And we're sitting by and just laughing.
I was going to say exactly the same thing.
Poor man, he's having a breakdown.
Well, with him and Nick, the whole thing's falling apart.
Falling to bits.
Within the rules of just a minute. I was having a breakdown within the rules.
It's not in the rules, but I do think it should make sense when you're talking.
Oh. All right.
And so, Paul, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. 18 seconds.
18 seconds?
Yeah. Career advice starting now.
When I was in the sixth form at Wimbledon College, the careers advice teacher, Father Cooper, invited me into his room. He didn't think much of my academic achievements and handed me a leaflet that was marked up as career advice, shelf filler if I were. He was offering me the chance to work in a supermarket.
Tony Challis.
Repetition of work.
Did I say work
twice?
No,
he said work and worked.
Tony, you're so close to having a breakdown that really you can't... Reality's swimming in and out for you at the moment. It's swimming in and out.
I'll explain it to you afterwards.
Explain to you afterwards.
Fine, OK. I swimming in and out, you can twice, see it. But anyway.
It was worked and work, and there's 1 second to go only. An incorrect challenge, Paul. Career advice starting now.
So I turned to Captain Ahab. Oh.
So Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went, has moved forward, and now he is equal in the lead with Tony Hawkes. And Phil, we're back with you to begin gap years. Try and talk on gap years if you can, Phil, starting now.
Well, if anything, a gap year is the opposite of academic because you take it instead of going to university. You might travel to Thailand or Malaysia, where I'm from, and bother my relatives. I didn't take a gap year myself. I was too eager to start learning engineering, studying numbers and looking at bolts and not having very good time, really. I was lonely, but at least I understood integration and differentiation. And that comes up never in my life. But I'm glad I spent 4 years doing it instead of...
Sheila Challis.
Oh, he's not talking about gap years, is he? He's talking about what he did at university rather than taking a gap year.
Ooh.
Well, I was about to get back to the gap year, but...
too late.
I think he was connecting it to the gap years, and he hasn't played the game as much as anyone else.
Well, he's played it once, and he's got very clever at it. I don't think we've got to give him our sympathy any longer.
And you played it many times, and you're very clever at it, so I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and say that you have 31 seconds, gap years starting now.
Well, I don't understand this concept of gap...
Poor challenge.
The hesitation.
Yes, so there are 27 seconds still available, Paul. Gap years starting now.
I'd always wanted to learn to walk the tightrope. The clown that was teaching me said to me, this gap that you're going to cross is approximately 200 yards. It will take you at least a year to learn how to cross this cavern. I said to myself, OK, I'm willing to take on this challenge. As I placed one foot upon the horizontal wire that stretched in front of me, I realised my heart was in my mouth, my lungs were in my pocket, and my shoes were in my back of the head.
So Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. And we're moving into the final round. And Sheila, we're back with you to begin. Oh. Coconut water. Coconut water, starting now.
I remember we didn't have coconuts during the war, but afterwards we bought one home and made a hole in it and drank what I presume was coconut water, but I actually think it was milk. Then you cut it open, but nowadays you get it in cartons. And I read somewhere that it's a total fraud. It is a tiny bit of coconut with a little bit of juice.
Oh, Paul Challis.
It was a hesitation.
Yeah, I think that was a hesitation, yes. So, Paul, there are still 35 seconds available. You tell us something about coconut water, starting now.
Myself and Nicholas Parsons were the only two survivors from the plane crash. We crossed the Sahara, moving slowly towards the desert that we imagined was in front of us. A coconut tree beckoned.
Tony Challis.
When did this happen, then?
1988.
I'm going to check it with Nicholas.
Yeah.
Where were you going with Paul in 1988 when you had this plane crash?
In a fantasy world, we were going nowhere.
Ah.
So what do I do? Do I go with Paul?
That's it for this week, or... ladies and gentlemen.
No, I wasn't in the desert with Paul, so I have to be logical and give it to you, Tony. And there are 24 seconds available. Coconut water starting now.
I was travelling in a plane with Nicholas Parsons going to Gibraltar.
Sheila Challenge.
You weren't travelling in a train to Gibraltar. You haven't gone yet. I know you're going.
We've
to
been
Gibraltar.
Before, Nicholas and I, haven't we, Nicholas?
Yes, we have been to Gibraltar before.
And yet you don't remember the plane crash that me and you were in. I carried him on my back for 14 miles.
Into the desert.
To the desert. I should have left him there.
Tony, you have the subject. Coconut water, starting now.
As Nicholas and I finished our...
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of Nicholas.
Yes, you mentioned my name before. 18 seconds still available, Paul. Coconut water, starting now.
I was so thirsty, I lined up the coconuts one by each other, and there they were.
Tony Challenge.
One by each other doesn't mean anything.
Oh, but I'm avoiding one by one.
I think if you're trying to get out of not breaking the rules...
Yeah, but you have to get out of it and one. Say something that means something, don't you?
Well, frankly, I'm going to give the point for making stuff up. I've been doing that for 30 years.
We understood what he was talking about, and he was trying to escape from not committing one of the faults of just a minute. So, benefit of the doubt, Paul, 12 seconds, coconut water starting now.
Coconut water was a housing development just past Thamesmead. This isn't true, because I'm making it up. Buzz.
Sheila, your challenge?
Deviation.
Deviation, yes, right. So you got in on the subject. 7 seconds to go. Coconut water starting now.
Coconut water actually is a pond south of Southall and it...
Paul Challenge.
Well, she's just making it up. This is fantasy. We're wandering the realms of fantasy. It's not real. It's not true.
I'm a very good feed.
So what's the challenge with the...
No, I was just joining the fun. I haven't got a challenge.
You haven't, right. So she has the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely.
And there are only 2 seconds to go, Sheila. Coconut water starting now.
Coconut water actually is quite tasty.
So let me give you the final score. Phil Wang, who did very well, finished up in fourth place, but he did very well. And Sheila Hancock is in third place, and she was a few points behind Tony Hawkes, mm-hmm. but he was... 3 or 4 points behind our leader, Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, you are our winner this week. It only remains for me to say thank you to these 4 fine, humorous players of the game, Paul Merton, Sheila Hancock, Phil Wang, and Tony Hawkes. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score. She kept the stopwatch going for me, and blown the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. We're indebted to our producer, Matt Strong. We're deeply indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we are indebted to this lovely audience here who've cheered us on our way magnificently. So from our audience and from me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye and tune in again when we play Just a Minute.